When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Wednesday to you now here. March 6th, and the madness is off and running, and it has been absolute madness already in the conference tournaments that are off and running. A lot of the mid-major conferences, the kind of win-or-go-home conferences, the only way to punch a ticket to the big dance is by winning your conference tournaments. And very rarely do we see in these mid-major conference tournaments number one seeds, the chalk, just kind of run the table here. And it lives up to its craziness here, known as madness once again. We've seen it already with the Atlantic Sun Conference. We saw the number one seed, Eastern Kentucky, lose last night to Jacksonville. We've seen the number three seed also go home. I mean, it has been a rough start here in March Madness. If you have been playing the chalk here, it has been absolutely crazy. And we, of course, have a few more games getting ready to go here. And, of course, you don't have to look any further than the NEC tournament that kicks off here tonight, too, with our favorite, the Merrimack Warriors, taking on the Long Island Sharks. The NEC tournament, of course, is interesting, and this is interesting from the standpoint of, if you remember, Merrimack won this division, this conference last year, but they were ineligible to actually go and represent in March Madness. As we welcome in our radio audience here on this Wednesday, it is Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and we are talking madness, March Madness, and we've got a few more of the mid-major tournaments getting ready to start here tonight, including the NEC tournament, which just a year ago watched Merrimack, the Warriors, win it. But because they were ineligible to go to the tournament because they made the transition from a Division II school to the big time, well, they unfortunately had to sit out a year or so. But we saw Fairleigh Dickinson take their place last year, and what happened with that? Yeah, they ended up taking down Big Bad Purdue. So it certainly pays to keep an eye on these mid-major tournaments and who eventually represents them heading to the big dance. And Merrimack, let's face it, they are the favorite. They should be the favorite here tonight in this one. I think it's going to be an awful lot of fun here watching it unfold to see if they can actually take their rightful place like they should have last year in March Madness. And don't forget also Ohio Valley Conference Tournament getting ready to start here tonight at the Ford Center. And you got Southern Indiana and Tennessee State going at it. And again, these are tournaments here that could be chalky, but I would doubt very much here. Tennessee State laying the 3, 3.5 here tonight. We've seen Southern Indiana with big losses already to Linwood and Southeast Missouri State. Not a good team. Some of these early conference games in like the Ohio Valley, probably the favorite is a favorite for a reason. And I will leave it at that. But we've got plenty more action still to go here tonight in college hoops. Let's not forget, we still have to finish the regular season in some of the big boy conferences here, like the Big 12 going at it here tonight, the Big 10, the Big East. In fact, the Big East is already off and running with a game here as we've got Seton Hall taking on none other than Villanova, and they are just about 5 minutes left in the first half, and it has been a great back and forth there. Seton Hall down a point to Nova, 19-18, and these are two teams clearly on the bubble here. So you got to be careful both those teams have to be careful, because it just could be one of those situations where either you win and you make it to the tournament by winning the Big East, which, of course, I think the likes of Marquette and UConn and others will have something to say about it, or you win your last two games here. So this is a big, big game right now with Seton Hall and Villanova. You've also got the University of Miami right now, 9-4 up over Boston College. Both those teams very disappointed with how things have gone here so far this year. And we also have some action right now with the Northeast Conference right now, where St. Francis, PA, knotted up with Central Connecticut State right now, 7-7 in that one. And, oh, yeah, the other Big 12 teams that are going on tonight, TCU sitting at 19-10 on the season, taking on West Virginia, that has been just a hot mess all year long, just 9-20 on the season. They are at West Virginia. It is senior night. That is what we've got going on here with these last couple of games. Jamie Dixon and TCU trying to end on a positive note as they head into the Big 12 tournament. They're up right now 5-0 over the Mountaineers, who really can't stop a nosebleed. And, oh, yeah, Tennessee, South Carolina, off and running, SEC number one seed on the line here. Tennessee is off to a 6-2 start. And get ready, other Northeast Conference tournament action. How about Wagner? Anybody have Wagner tonight? Coming in as the 6th seed, taking on Sacred Heart. It's a 6-1 game early on, about 5 minutes to go in this one. And Sacred Heart got a lot of money early today over Wagner. Kind of head-scratching here, as many people think Wagner actually in better form and in a ripe spot here in order to upset Sacred Heart here tonight. Oh, yeah, we talked about Fairleigh Dickinson, the other side of the bracket of the Northeast Conference. While FDU may not have won the Northeast Conference last season, but it didn't matter because they still got a chance to go to the dance and use that time wisely by beating Purdue there. Well, now it's a 4-5 seed. Lemoyne. What? Yes, Lemoyne. That's correct. The Lemoyne Dolphins. If you're wondering where Lemoyne is, join the club. Nobody has a clue as to where they are. No, I'm kidding. They're up upstate New York there, and I believe in that Syracuse area. Lemoyne is ready to roll. In fact, they're off to a 9-0 start in that game. How about Rhode Island, and also trying to finish off the season on a winning note here? They're knotted up with George Mason at 6 apiece. We told you about number one Houston. We talked to Chris Thurston earlier. They are injured. They are working with 7 rotational players here right now, and that is not good news for this Houston Cougars team sitting at the number one spot. And they're down early to UCF there, 8-2. and Davidson out in front of Loyola Chicago right now as they have just tipped off early there. We'll have much more on the college basketball scoreboard as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on this Wednesday. We are off and running, obviously, plenty of college basketball upon us here. We are getting ready, I believe, early start in a couple of minutes here in the NBA. Seven games on the slate there. We'll keep you posted with what's going on. But don't forget, we still have three NHL games on the slate, and we've got a trade deadline here. And we already learned of a few moves earlier here today as we welcome in our good friend George Kurtz in the house. Nobody better to talk the NHL with. And Kurtz, let me ask you something here. The Florida Panthers, they just keep adding weapons. Like, yeah, well, you good? Tarasek, great. Come on in. We're good to go. Pretty cheap price. I mean, my goodness. Could they stop, please? I mean, the Panthers seem to be on a mission here to just basically house everybody here. Do you like the move? Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Here's the thing, because obviously I was the same way when I read this headline earlier today, because they're already the best team in the NHL by far. It's not even remotely close. And yet here they are taking on, they get a Tarasenko here who's already had 17 goals this season with Ottawa. And he was good with Ottawa, but Ottawa had to get rid of him. We get it. But my goodness here, George Kurtz, the rich keep getting richer here, and just another weapon for the Florida Panthers to utilize in their quest for not only maybe the President's Cup, but of course a shot at getting to the NHL Finals once again. And my goodness here, not a move a lot of people thought that they would see coming here, but certainly a move in which the Florida Panthers are more than happy to have options, because they know better than anybody that depth is extremely important, and you better have enough skilled players on a team if you are going to make a run at this. And the Panthers just added another one. And by the way, they're 21-4-2 in their last 27 games. And there's not a whole lot of flaws on this roster, but my goodness here, Kurtz, I got Tkachuk, I got Verhage, I got Reinhardt, and now they go out and get another guy that is no problem scoring that they can throw in on any one of those lines. I mean, the rich got richer here with the Panthers.
Absolutely. As you already mentioned, we're talking about a team that already might have been the best team in the NHL. All right, we knew they would add something. Where were they going to go? They went offense, a little depth there. Tarasenko may not be the player he was 2-3 years ago, but we're talking a useful player here. You know, a 25, 28 goal scorer over the course of a season here. So, yes, a nice player. I think most in the NHL were surprised at the cost. Not much. Conditional fourth or third round pick there. Now, Tarasenko did have an NTC and no trade clause. He was pretty much able to decide where he wanted to go. I'm sure that kept the cost down somewhat, but absolutely Florida. Florida's got the offense. They're a nasty team. They're no fun to play against. They have a good defense. It's all about Bobrovsky, and he's been great all season long. He continues to be that way. Right now is the team to beat in the NHL.
Yeah, no, it's not even close. I mean, Paul Maurice is going to have options upon options there. Listen, I love what they're doing, because there's a window of opportunity here, and they're taking full advantage of it, Kurtz, getting exactly the kinds of pieces here that would certainly go to help another team. But at that price, like you said, you kind of can't pass it up here. Only three games on the NHL here tonight, in fact, and one game already underway with the Sabres and the Maple Leafs here, as we'll take a look here at George Kurtz's lineup card here on what he is looking at here tonight in the NHL. And it's got to be Kurtz, Toronto and Buffalo. First thing I thought was over, but we ain't got a goal yet. So, but I don't think it matters because I still think Buffalo and Toronto are probably going to get a few goals. But the Sabres have been pretty good in not allowing goals here over the last month.
Yeah, the Sabres aren't a terrible team. All right, they've been a disappointing team this season. But Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been really, he stabilized in the net for them. We thought it was going to be Devon Levi at the start of the season, the hotshot rookie from last year. That didn't pan out. So it took them a while to find their goaltender. But Pekka Luukkonen has been that guy, solid goaltender. That being said, listen, our options are limited tonight. It's hard to bet an under with the Maple Leafs, and you have to think they're going to be a little upset over how they played Monday against Boston. Right, so yeah, I'm on the Maple Leafs and the over tonight. I'm also on the Maple Leafs to win the game and an Auston Matthews anytime goal. He didn't score Monday, came close. All right, he had one right along the goal line here. It didn't quite get in there, but I'm on a couple of bets in this game, but I want goals.
So, you like, I'm guessing you like the Maple Leafs in this one here too, and it is tough to back an over here with how good Buffalo has been in not allowing them. But I don't think I can say the same thing about Detroit and Colorado, who I believe over at least the last 10 games, Curtis, they averaging 3-4 goals a game, averaging. They have been really, really good here. And Colorado seems like it's that time of year. They're starting to kick it in here to to another gear, McKinnon and company. My goodness, they are loaded again, Colorado.
And they made a couple of big moves today, Joe. Big trades today. They sent Bowen Byram, a really good defenseman. Has trouble staying healthy, but a really good defenseman. To Buffalo, by the way, for Casey Mittelstadt. Mittelstadt's a center here. The Avs want Mittelstadt to replace Nazem Kadri. They've never been able to really replace Kadri since he left via free agency before last season. So they're hoping Mittelstadt can be that second-line center. And I think he can here. And then to replace Byram, they trade for Sean Walker from the Philadelphia Flyers here. Walker is a very good puck-moving defenseman. Not really great on the defensive side, but that's not what Colorado cares about. They like their defensemen, Makar, Taves, Girard, and now Walker to carry that puck, get it out of the zone, get it to McKinnon, get it to Rantanen, and away we go here. So a couple of big moves today for Colorado. I like what they've done here. And keep in mind, by the way, Colorado, these moves, they actually saved money on the cap. As Philadelphia ate Ryan Johansson's contract in that trade, his first round pick going to Philly here. So they could theoretically make another move before the deadline on Friday. I like Colorado tonight. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game because you have pucks go in the net tonight as well here. And I'm on the same thing, Colorado to win and give me a Nathan McKinnon anytime goal. But you can play this in any one of a number of ways. You could say, hey, Alex Lyon, the Detroit goaltender, going to give up more than 3.5 goals. So Colorado to get 4 goals. I don't mind that way. How about McKinnon, a power play point? You can go that direction here. McKinnon over 1.5. Notice how I keep going to McKinnon here, the guy who always, always gets at least 1 point at home.
Yeah, and, you know, Patrick Kane also actually doing a pretty good job here with Detroit. And they, too, they've lost the last couple of games. They could be interesting here tonight to see if they can get a couple of more goals. I don't think they're going to have to add a lot to get this thing up and over to 6.5, like you said here. But Patrick Kane getting a goal, maybe over 2.5 shots along with McKinnon. It seems like this is the one game on the card tonight we might be able to make a few bucks on here and cash a few tickets, especially correlated to that over. What are we going to do with Ottawa now and Anaheim here tonight? We told you about, of course, Ottawa trading away, and I don't know, Kurtz, more trades still to come here. It's a tough spot here tonight for Ottawa.
Yeah, Jacob Chychrun is going to be the guy. Name you're going to hear mentioned for Ottawa a lot now in the next 2 days. Defenseman. Once again, offensive defenseman here, but that'll be the name you hear mentioned possibly leaving Ottawa over the next few days. We'll see here. No Tarasenko tonight. Listen, I'm taking the plus money in the Ducks. All right, I'm just taking the plus money in the Ducks here. All right, it's tough to bet Ottawa. They've had problems in goal now because Forsberg's hurt, Korpisalo's ill. We'll see what we get there tonight here. I'm just taking the plus money. I'm not going to tell you I love it. I don't have any real reason for it. Give me plus 160 with the Anaheim Ducks. It's hard to trust the Senators.
Oh, it's very hard to trust, especially on the road against Anaheim here tonight. So, George Kurtz, outstanding stuff here. So we'll be rooting it in here tonight for you, man. We appreciate the time. Brady Cannon will step up next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network on this Wednesday. And you know what that means, in addition, of course, to college basketball, NBA, NHL, baseball starting. Let us not forget about each and every Thursday. We get to start with a new PGA Tour event, and we got a good one coming up this weekend here, and nobody better to talk to about it then our good friend Brady Cannon. And it is Bay Hill, Brady, on our minds here at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Orlando. I never thought the Cognizant Classic was going to end because it looked like it was going to rain forever. But a Oklahoma State alum takes it down there with Austin Eckroat. And I may be crazy, but I think this could be back-to-back Oklahoma State alums winning golf tournaments here, Brady. Kudos to Austin Eckroat, though, for getting it done last week.
Hey, I like where you're going with that, but Matthew Wolf is on the LIV Tour. No, yeah, Victor Hovland, right?
Well done. Touche. No. Yeah, very well done.
No doubt about it.
I think, though, horses for courses, right? This is, we talked last week about PGA National, the way that's set up, and it's set up for certainly certain styles of golfers here. Start with this course, and who are we talking about here? Whose game fits this golf course?
It's actually a little bit similar to last week, Joe, in the sense that I think it's going to, you know, be a ball striker's course. It always has been, and I think it's going to continue to play that way this week. Now, what you have is kind of a bigger version. You've got thicker rough, you've got bigger greens, you've got a longer course. It's a par 72 rather than a 71. You've got very thick rough here. We do have a little bit of moisture in the area. It looks like it's going to be on and off, so that'll probably make that thick rough even tougher. But you do have relatively narrow fairways like we had last week. I think the short game is mitigated a bit versus, you know, some other courses where it might be more important. I think this is so much about total driving. You got to hit it long and straight. It's about long iron play. Bay Hill, when you include the par three holes, has more holes or more approach shots of 200 yards or greater than any other course on the tour rotation. So long iron play, total driving, ball striking, that is really going to be the first and foremost formula, I believe, this week. And that, as you kind of allude to, that's right up Victor Hovland's alley. He's finished 10th here before. He's finished runner-up here before. As far as the correlated courses I use this week, Joe, other courses that we see around the rotation that are heavy on ball striking, Phoenix, TPC Scottsdale, Memorial Park in Houston, Southern Hills, where they had the PGA Championship in 22, Oak Hill, where they had the PGA Championship last year, Olympia Fields, which has held a couple of BMW championships, a part of the FedEx Cup playoffs the last few years. What has Victor Hovland done at those courses? Well, he won at Olympia Fields last fall. He finished second at Oak Hill as a part of the PGA. He's finished 15th before in Houston. So, you know, the guy tends to show up when you get these types of courses that absolutely fit his game. And he's a guy I landed on my shortest shot this week at 17-1.
Yeah, well, of course, there's always chalk in this one because we've got, it is a shorter field with more of the bigger names. Of course, the Scotties are here and, you know, Rory and, you know, we get all of that. But we've got four par fives. We've got a couple of really short par fours. And we have a tournament at least over the last four or five that maybe even single digits wins it, which means current form, I guess, matters here in this tournament.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think current form is always a factor. As far as course form and course history, Bay Hill has one of the strongest strangleholds on course history. I mean, Tiger Woods won here 8 times, multiple winners. Scottie Scheffler's won here. I think it was third that he finished last year. Rory has done exceptionally well here over the years. You're talking like Augusta National, the Sony Open, Bay Hill, Colonial. You know, there's a handful of tracks on tour where guys that play well tend to do so year in and year out. And, you know, my next guy on the board was Sam Burns at 26-1. He doesn't fit the profile or have the course form like a Hovland and some of my other plays do. But you talk about current form. I can't ignore the fact that he's finished top 10 in 4 straight events, 4 weeks in a row coming into this event. The last one being the Genesis Invitational where he finished 10th. And he did take 9th here at Bay Hill in 2022. He's finished 3rd and 6th at Phoenix. Again, a correlated course of mine, a couple of 7th place finishes at Houston. So Sam Burns, and by the way, with Burnsy, one of the best putters on Bermuda grass in the field as well. Mm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I see on that list you have, we talked about him last couple of weeks too, was Matty Fitzpatrick here, who, if I'm not mistaken, 4 top 10s, 6 top 25s, 9 career starts here. I think even as an amateur won a tournament here. So likes the greens, likes the golf course, familiar, pretty good price too, it looks like.
Yeah, not too bad. You know, I've seen him being bet down to as low as 24. I was able to get him pretty early in the week at 32. But you're talking a U.S. Open winner here, right? That equals ball striker in my book. And you talk about what he's done at not only Bay Hill, but the correlated courses, incredibly strong. 14th and 9th here at Bay Hill, 15th and 10th in Phoenix, 13th and 10th at Congaree in South Carolina, 5th at Southern Hills for the PGA, 6th and runner-up at Olympia Fields. So, I mean, this guy just checks a lot of boxes. I like Fitzpatrick this week. I also took another guy at similar odds, Cam Young, who really is pretty similar to Victor Hovland. Big boy hitter off the tee with the driver in his hands. He can strike the long irons. You know, absolute ball striker is Cam Young. And he comes in with good current form. An 8th place in Phoenix, again, a correlated course. Finished 4th last week at the Cognizant. So I think Cam Young is in play this week. And I've seen his numbers stay pretty steady, you know, in the high 20s to low 30s. So I think there's still some good opportunity out there on Cam Young.
Well, you talked about him last week. I think he had a top five finish at PGA National. He was 16th at Riviera. I believe he was 8th at Scottsdale. I mean, yeah. the game is there for him, and that is a pretty good price. I see you have a couple of the old guys on the card as well there, and certainly two dudes very familiar with Bay Hill in Fleetwood and Keegan Bradley here. Pretty good prices too, where knowledge matters.
Absolutely. And I should preface all of this by saying, Joe, not only did I play all of these guys outright, but I played them for a top 20 finish as well. That's just a part of my routine week in and week out. And I will risk less on the outright wager than I do on the top 20 finish. I'll you know, bump that up quite a bit on the top 20 finish. You figure if they are knocking on the door for a top 20 finish, they're probably at some point in contention to win the golf tournament. And Tommy Fleetwood has 3 top 10s here. Keegan Bradley has 4 top 10s, including a runner-up. And, you know, both of these guys, absolutely, especially Bradley, his career signature has been based on total driving and long iron play and ball striking. Tommy Fleetwood's also another guy that plays difficult golf courses really, really well. One of the best guys in this field that plays tough golf courses well. You've seen him do it at Shinnecock. He was 4th at Southern Hills for the PGA a couple of years ago. You know, and Keegan Bradley is really kind of my flyer here. The other 5 guys, I think, have an absolute legitimate shot to win this. Keegan Bradley, just a little bit of a flyer. Like you say, an older guy who does have tremendous experience here. And, you know, in the last couple of years, his putting has improved too. So you never know. If he finishes top 20, hey, I'll cash that ticket and we'll be happy. And again, like I say, if you're finishing top 20, there's probably at some point you've got a shot to win it.
So I got to ask you, as we have Cameron Young, Fitzpatrick, they're all in that nice price range there of the, you know, 25 to 35, somewhere in that ballpark. I think Jason Day is somewhere also in there with great course history. But it's like we almost forgot again. Like, what should we be looking at Willie Z here, who we all think he's close and he's kind of in that that same price range?
There's no doubt about it. And it's the old saying, you can't bet them all, right?
Right.
No, I mean, the last time we saw Willie Z, he was right there up until the very end and just got bulldozed by a guy that was on an absolute heater in Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah.
Zalatoris, I think, can probably show up any week, any time, and win. I just didn't, you know, I kind of went Hovland rather than Willie Z. I kind of went Cam sure. Young rather than Willie Z. You know, and he hasn't been around this track a whole lot either. I did talk with one bookmaker from the Mandalay Bay here in Las Vegas. In fact, my article is up at pgatour.com under the heading Golf Bet. It's called The Prop Farm. And we talked to a lot of bookmakers about what kind of action they're seeing pouring in week to week on each tournament. And he said yep. he's taken some sharp action on Willie Z to finish top 20. So maybe bettors Ooh. Aren't real aggressive to bet him to win. But he agreed with that. In fact, he threw out his own opinion and said, I think that's a pretty good bet I might make myself, Willie Z to finish top 20.
I love it here. You got some head-to-head bets over there, too, as well. We'll throw up on the screen. I mean, Adam Scott doesn't get any more familiar with Bay Hill there. And that's the interesting part here, Brady. We've got a smaller field, but a whole lot of experience. It should be a great one. Good luck with those picks, Brady. We'll talk to you again later this week here. GTD continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Or want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and much going on here tonight. And don't worry, you're in good hands coming up top of the hour. Scotty Wetzel take over in game live, and you will be prime time here on a loaded slate here. Certainly, college basketball, the madness has begun, but we got a pretty decent NBA slate of games as well here, Scotty. Early on, I'm seeing Orlando down. I hope you're sitting down. The Magic are just sticking it to the Orlando Magic there. I mean, the Wizards, rather, sticking it to the Magic. 39-23 early here in the second. But we do have a couple other games just underway. Cavs, Hawks, Clippers, Rockets, as well as the Grizzlies and the 76ers. And I think the late slate of games, there's some money to be made here, and I'll start with Utah taking on the Bulls, who what a comeback the other night against Sacramento. Was down 22 at one point, Scotty, and they came back and just hosed them in the fourth quarter. Do they have enough in the tank tonight, you think, to do that again here?
I think they do. You know, it's funny, and I had Sacramento, too, the other night.
Yeah.
One of those games where you kind of turn it off, you lose attention. All right, they're up 15-20. It's the dopey Bulls, right? It's going to be a winner.
Yep.
And then you look at the final score, and you're like, you got to be kidding me. They lost? Forget about not even covering, right? So, yeah, I'm going to hop on. And I generally like going against teams that have those big comebacks because they're so giddy about winning. But Bulls are actually playing halfway decent. For whatever reason, all season long, Joe, they play better on the road than they do at home. They're 6-5 their last 11. Nothing great, but still, that's halfway decent. 4-2, last six on the road. Utah's in a whole lot of trouble. They did win their last game, but that was against Washington. But otherwise, they've lost 9 of 11. No Lauri Markkanen, supposedly, tonight. So, you know what? Bulls are the favorite. Drop down to 3.5, 4, depending on you know where and when you do your shopping. But I got a feeling the Bulls are going to win on the road. So, yeah, I do like Chicago in this game, laying a small price in Utah.
All right, hell of a win for the Lakers a couple of games ago there. Nobody, they flipped. They were a favorite. Then all of a sudden they were the dog taking on OKC. Well, they handled business. Now they've got Sacramento, who we just said was just threw up all over themselves in the fourth quarter against the Bulls a couple of nights ago. I believe De'Aaron Fox is a go. I'm seeing him active now. And LeBron, of course, is questionable. But when is he? Would you lean towards in this one?
Like Sacramento. You know what? The Kings, believe it or not, have kind of owned this series. They are 6-1 against the Lakers last seven games, including 2-0 this year, including 3-0 in Los Angeles. So it's not even like you could say, well, it's in L.A. Who cares? Sacramento, for whatever reason, young legs, call it as it is, have held their own against this Laker team. And then you throw in the way they blew, the previous game. I do like playing on those teams. Teams that, let their guard down and they lose a game they think they're going to win. It gets them a little riled up. In the NBA, Joe, you got to find, nuggets. Why is this team going to play tonight? Because you never know who wants to play and who doesn't in the NBA. So I got a little nugget, little chip on Sacramento's shoulder blowing that game. They love playing the Lakers. They've had success against the Lakers. So why not? Let's grab Sacramento getting 2, 2.5 in Los Angeles.
I'm so with you on this one here. And then, of course, the late night game, game of the night here, huh? They just flipped Giannis to probable now. So he looks like he is a go against the Golden State Warriors. I'm seeing 2.5 now is what Golden State is a favorite. 228.5 as a total in this one, Scotty.
All over Golden State, Joe. You got to be, right? I mean, again, you look for that little nugget, right? Two teams, whatever. But one team lost by 52 their last game. So, you lose by 52, you're going to come out with a force the next time out, and it happens to be this game. I mean, they were thoroughly embarrassed on national TV, didn't show up. You and I were doing a show, right, Sunday afternoon. We were watching that debacle. So, yeah, I got to figure Golden State at home is going to come out flying tonight. Milwaukee's good. They're finally playing good ball. I'll admit that under Doc Rivers. It took them a little while to get going, and they are. And they got some wins even without Giannis. Even if he doesn't play, they're more than capable of winning. But you know what?
Yep.
Again, you lose. I'd like to know the record, Joe. And I looked it up, and I couldn't find it. I'd like to know the record of teams that lose by, we'll say, 35 or more points. What their record is straight up and against the spread their next game. I bet you without knowing, not even close. It's a winning record. Like 75% they win the next time out, at least cover the next time out. You don't get embarrassed like Golden State did without feeling that. So I'm expecting a monster effort. So give me the Warriors tonight.
Oh, and they were embarrassed. It was as bad as it gets, but they are at home now. So an opportunity to wash that away here. I see you also like Steph to have a pretty big game here. You think it's Steph time tonight, huh?
Well, listen, in the same vein, right? He had one of his worst games ever.
Oh.
4 points. Four against the Boston Celtics on national TV. He shot 2 of 13, Joe. I mean, it was just a debacle Sunday, right? So, I'm thinking this guy's going to bounce back and have a monster game tonight. A whole lot of defense is not going to be played against Milwaukee, right? This should be a high-scoring game. So, I really, out of all the plays tonight, maybe they lose, maybe it's a close game. Maybe Giannis comes to play. Maybe LeBron and the Lakers give us their A game, and then maybe Utah wins at home. Out of the five plays, over 27.5 points. I'd be most surprised if Curry, after going 2 of 13, didn't get at least 28 points tonight against the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I'd be shocked if it wasn't a good bounce-back spot here for him. Is it a bounce back spot for Marquette hosting UConn, who pretty much has nothing to play for here? Still no Kolek for him. How do you approach this game tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to go under, Joe. Here's my thinking. I looked it up. UConn's an over team, not by a lot, 15-13-1. But so it's basically 500. But if you look at the best teams they played in the Big East and in Gonzaga, they're 5-2 under. When they come to play against the big boys, they don't want to get into it. They'll run other, lesser teams off the court, but they ratchet up that defense. Then you throw, Marquette's best player, is not going to be playing tonight. I'm gonna, and they helped Marquette to 53 points just a few weeks ago, winning 81-53. I don't think this is getting to 152 points, come hook or crook. So I like more than anything else the under. I don't want to lay the 5.5. I think UConn wins, but that's a big number. Marquette's terrific at home against the spread. And you don't know how they're going to be. So give me the under 151.5. That's a lot of points, and I don't think it's going to get to that.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I think their best chance is to slow it down there, Marquette, play a little defense and see what happens. We also have a battle in the Big 12 here with Iowa State, who just doesn't lose at home, refuses to lose at home. But, man, laying 7.5 against BYU. How are you leaning in this one?
Yeah, it's a big price, right? I'm going to try and buy the hook, get it down to 7. But Iowa State lost to BYU earlier this year, one of only 6 losses. So that's going to – not that they needed any more incentive, but that gives them that extra incentive. They lost by double digits. They played one of their worst games of the year. I'm just going to take my chances they cover the 7, Joe. You know, it's one of those where do you really want to lay 7, 7.5? No, they're begging to take BYU. And BYU's got some nice road wins, right? They won at Kansas. They're more than capable. But, you know, you give me the team that lost, played awful the first time, that's really good, like Iowa State is, at home. I'll take my chances they somehow or another win by 8 or more. I think they will. I think they win by double digits. So I do like Iowa State in the game.
All right, like in Iowa State, we already know nobody has covered more games than Minnesota. This is a strange schedule. Like, they just played Indiana. Did they not? Now they're playing them again, and now I believe they're still a favorite here, 5.5. What do we do with the Gophers here tonight? Do they continue this ATS cover run?
Yeah, this is one of those no-brainer picks, right? You don't even think about it. You just know Minnesota at home, you have to play them. I mean, and if you gave me 10 guesses on who would have the best home against the spread mark, you know, in the last 2, 3, 4 years, right? I you could give me 30, and I don't think I would bet Minnesota or guess Minnesota, but they do. This team does. It's amazing. 26 home games. They are 21-4-1 against the spread.
Crazy.
And that's a decent little mix of being favorites or underdogs, right? I mean, and they're only laying 5.5. Indiana has won 2 in a row. So, you know, as bad as this season has been for the Hoosiers, you can make the case they're playing their best ball. And one of those was at Maryland. But, boy, you can't bet against 21-4-1. Last 51 games overall, even, Joe, Minnesota's 34-16-1. They're a recovering machine. It's all they do for whatever reason is cover. And it's only 5.5. I wish the Iowa State line was only 5.5. So, again, buy the hook if you can. Get it down to 5. I don't think Indiana's going to win. Minnesota, you know, semi-bubble team. So, yeah, give me the Gophers to win big on senior night.
I am with, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, Scotty. I am kind of with you on that one there. Let me get, before we get out of here, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, 2.5 for A&M. It's been a rough go here for these two teams this season.
Yeah, it really has. This is the worst of two evils. Neither one has great against the spread numbers or trends that you'd want to point to and say, okay, let me put my money on that team. But Mississippi State's are a little bit worse than Texas A&M's. 0-6 against the spread, last 6 times on the road as an underdog, as they always are. You know, Texas A&M only laying 2.5 at home. They snapped their 5-game losing streak. Really just a, you know, and Mississippi State is only 2-7 straight up on the road as well. They don't win on the road, no matter where they're playing, no matter who they're playing. So A&M 9-5, last 14 home games. Not great, but, you know, they've had some success at home. So getting a game of basically pick 'em, Joe, 2 evenly matched clubs. Give me A&M minus the 2.5.
Yep, don't hate that at all. And in the NHL tonight, it's only 3 games, but one of them I think should get some goals is certainly Detroit taking on Colorado here. How are you looking at this one?
Yeah, we're going to go over. Not going to lay the big wood, not going to take a flyer on Detroit. Let's go over 6.5. Colorado has either scored or given up 5 goals in their last 4 games. They're at home. You know, McKinnon's going to get on the board. Hopefully keep your fingers crossed. We got that bet going. Getting a point in every single home game this year. So why not the 6.5? If 4-3, 5-2, 6-1, you know, whatever it is, I'd be surprised if they didn't get the 7 goals the way Colorado's been scoring of late. So, yeah, over 6.5.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, it's going to be a loaded slate here, not just tonight, but of course, all week here, Scotty. I still don't quite understand the whole NHL schedule. You get two games, you get 130 in one day, and you get like two, like it's like I don't get it. It's absolute feast or famine here tonight too. So we do have plenty though. When it's college basketball, NBA. Who you on with tonight here? Who's coming up at the top?
We got me and Dave Sherapan. We're going to have Brady Cannon, who you just had on. We'll do a little golf with him. We got some college basketball. We got our three-team, three-league parlay we're putting together. Oh. Champion of the NBA, champion of the NHL, and champion of college basketball. So we're going to put that together.
Worth the price of admission. Just exactly. For that, it's worth the price of admission coming up here at the top of the hour. And if you're lucky, he'll have a go-against trend as well that you're going to want to hear about. Scotty, enjoy, brother. Thanks for swinging by. We'll wrap it up. Game time decisions next year on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in as we wrap up this edition of Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Want to thank you so much for hanging out with us here tonight. Again, much coming your way here in just a minute here. Scotty Wetzel, in-game live primetime will be coming your way. Dave Sherapan and the crew, and they're going to be covering all the games here tonight. We got plenty here in the NBA already off and running, and we told you, the Wizards, who have lost, I don't know, it feels like 3 years in a row, it feels like, but they are on top of the Magic right now, 59-42. So they are taking it to the Orlando Magic. You've got the Cavs on top of the Hawks early, 24-20 in the first, and the Rockets on top of the Clippers, 17-14. And again, the Clippers were laying 7 in that game, and I'm not quite sure I trust the Clippers to be laying that many points on the road, even though the Rockets are on the second of a back-to-back. Also, Grizzlies on top of the 76ers, 28-22. Coming up, 9 o'clock hour, get ready for the Bulls and the Jazz. And we're also off and running here in college hoops here with number one Houston. They are at the break, and they are trailing UCF, the University of Central Florida Knights, right now 31-28 on top of the number one team, the Houston Rockets. We told you Nova and Seton Hall was a big game, and Seton Hall is handling business right now, 45-37 over Nova. They got about 11 minutes left to go in that game. Both bubble teams both need to win this matchup. And of course, coming up a little bit later here, we're going to have the number two team there, UConn, taking on Marquette. That should be a fun one. And also, Tennessee is taking it to South Carolina, 35-24 in that one. But you don't have to go anywhere because, again, In Game Live is coming up next. They'll get you caught up with all the big games here tonight. Game Time Decisions will be back again tomorrow. Enjoy your night. We'll see you again soon.